And as we go to prayer again, let's remember the third verse of this one. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine or yours. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, myself, and my pride. I now surrender, Lord. In me, I want you to abide. I'm adding a few words there, but how true it is that we want Christ to abide in our hearts and our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to come before you and the privilege to see what you have to say to us in song as well as in word. Help us, O God, that our hearts and our minds will be open and receptive to your word, that as we see and as we speak about it, that we will feel your presence with us and that we will know you are leading and guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 1 through verse 14. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their own ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man sitting there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see the wedding feast, which is going to take place at the end of time and at the beginning when Christ marries his bride, the church. As we look back into our Old Testament lesson and we see God saying, you know, I went to a nation that did not see me or know me, did not seek me, but they found me. They did not know about me, but they heard about me, and they gladly accepted the word. You see, the Jews are the chosen people of God, and they took and rebelled against Christ. And as they rebelled against Christ, they were rebelling against God himself. And we see that even today so many times when we know we're supposed to follow our leaders, and our leaders are supposed to be righteous, they're supposed to be truthful, and we find that many of them aren't. But God says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, because my promise and my covenant to my people is true, and it's one that I will carry out completely. He sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, into the world, and by sending him into the world, he died for our sin. And as he died for our sin, he forgave us our sin if we were willing to accept him in faith and in graciousness and holiness. So we see this nation in Isaiah that God is talking about is the Gentile world, not the Jewish world, but the Gentile world, because the Jews had rejected God and rejected Christ altogether. Then if we go into Ephesians, we find there that Paul tells us to have the wisdom that we need to serve Christ, and that we should do it not only in word, but in song, and in spiritual songs. So remember, when you are singing songs to yourself, if you are alone, or if you're singing to the Lord and praising God, that you want to sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, not necessarily the secular songs that uplifts the physical life to something that it shouldn't be. And so we say, as we look at many different religions even in the world, and they'll say, we have secular Christian music. And I've never quite figured out what that was, and I've had people try and tell me that it's secular music with a Christian background, and I have not quite grasped that in my own thinking. But I do know this, that God says, I am the Lord thy God. I have sent you my only begotten Son. And by sending my only begotten Son, I am inviting you through his death on the cross, because he died for your sins and the sins of the world. I am sending you an invitation to his marriage supper. And sending that invitation, you can only receive it by faith, and you receive it because you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You do not take and say, you know, push him away or push the Holy Spirit away and say, I'll do it later. Because God says, I will send my Spirit unto all people. He may only come to you once in your lifetime to convict you of your sin and to take and lead you to the Lord. But if you reject him completely and you push him away, the more he calls, the harder it is to hear, because you let the things of the world come in around you and you can't hear that voice that he's speaking, saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will invite you. You have that invitation. As it tells us here, some went to their farms and some went to their businesses, some went to their places of employment, some went to entertainment or whatever else they had going on, but they did not acknowledge Christ, and they did not acknowledge that the Holy Spirit has called them to this invitation to be accepted. They did not want that garment. You know, back in those days, there was two invitations for a wedding. One, that there was going to be one, and then they prepared it, and when it was ready, another invitation went out and says, you've been invited to this wedding, and come, and they would give them a wedding garment. And they had special garments that they wore. And I think if I was to ask each one of you, are you glad when you're invited to a wedding? And most of us would say, it is a special time for whoever is being married, and yes, I want to celebrate with them. Would you go then in clothing that wasn't fit for that wedding? And the answer is no. We would dress up accordingly or appropriately so that we would be accepted in that presence of those people. We see that the same thing is here with Jesus Christ. God has given us that invitation, and as he's given us that invitation, he has also said, I will take away your sin, and I will give you a garment of white that is white and shining with no sin on it. And when God looks at you, he will see you through the blood of Christ, and he will not see your sin, but he will see you as a person without sin because you have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We look at into the world today and we find that we have an election coming up. And in that election, I'm not telling you how to vote, and this is not a political statement, but it is a scriptural statement in which it is your duty to make sure we have good leaders. It is your duty to pray for our leaders. It is your duty then not only to pray for our leaders, but to be willing to be used by God to be one of those leaders if he calls you to do so. You see, when we look at the programs today, if you want to put it that way, or the slate of people running for office, it's not only president, but Congress, representatives, it's the Senate in the House, the legislature, and the representatives of our area. It's even our school boards and our town officials that run our community. We are to pray for them, and we are to see that the best ones are there. We are to look at their platforms and see what they believe or what they teach or what they want to do, and vote for the one we feel would serve us the best or serve the community the best. And in that, we do not necessarily tear apart anybody else, but we may talk to people and we will tell them why we feel the way we do. And God wants us to do that. You know, back in Judges, when the Israelites wanted a king, and God had told them, I would rather you stay with Judges, and they know they wanted a king. So the prophet of that day came up and he stood on the mountaintop and he called out and he says, people of Israel, you are as trees. And in those trees, the trees came up to the olive tree and they said, we want you to be king over us, to sway over us and tell us what to do. And the olive tree says, I can't do that because I produce olives and I have olive oil and we use that for so many things and we have olives to eat and so forth, so I can't do it. So they went to the fig tree and the fig tree says, I can't sway over you and be king over you because I produce figs and you know it's healthy and it's so many good things that comes from them. Therefore, I have to keep on producing figs. So then they went to the vine and they says, vine, would you be king over us? And the vine says, I can't do that because I produce fruit of the vine and they have their wines and the fruit of the vine and so forth and how much good juices they can get from me. I cannot do that. So then they went to the bramble tree, or as we would call it, the tumbleweed. And they said, will you be king over us? And he says, sure, if you do what I tell you, and if you listen to what I say, that I will be your king. And so they said, okay, what God is telling us here, do not accept or do not go after poor leaders, but to accept leaders that we know would help us, to vote for the leader that we feel would be justifying, the closest to what we feel should be done, that we keep them in prayer, that we uphold them and we stand by them, that we ask God not only to bless them, but that we would remember them in prayer every day, that we would pray not only for the leaders, but for the nation itself, that we would pray for our community, and that we would pray for our churches and our schools and the people that have those positions of leadership in those places. And this is a thing that God has given to us, that we have a chain of command, if you want to call it that, but that we remember them in prayer. You know, I seen a sign the other day and it says, what would you do if you woke up in the morning and the only thing you had for that day is what you thanked God for yesterday? And I thought to myself, how true that is. How thankful would we be if all we had this morning when we woke up, what we had thanked God for yesterday. Did we thank God for the day? Did we thank him for the peace and the tranquility he has given us? Have we thanked him for our families? Have we thanked him for our food? Have we thanked him for half of the stuff we take for granted? And the answer would be no. We haven't done that. But just think, if you woke up and you only had what you had thanked God for, nothing else, would we even have the sun rising on us? And the answer probably would be no. Because do we thank God for the sunrise? Do we thank God for the sunset? Do we thank God for watching over us? And many times we have to say no. Are we then upholding our leaders? Are we voting for those who will help us? Or are we taking it upon ourselves and being stiff-necked like the Jews were and not listening to God? God says, I have sent you an invitation to the wedding feast of my son. I've sent you to that invitation to him, and I want you to come. But you cannot come unless you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you cannot accept him unless he is first in your life. And you cannot accept him unless you're saying, Lord, I will take up my cross daily and I will follow you. And even though I may be persecuted for you, I will gladly bear it because I am doing it for you, Lord Jesus, in this sinful world. And we find that the day will come when we stand before God in judgment. And we find as we stand before him as Christians that have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, he will not come to us as a thief in the night, but he will come to us because we're looking up and looking forward to his return. But those that don't have Jesus, or those that have said, we are following Christ, but I have other things that I have to take care of, and therefore Christ is not first in my life, he will come as a thief in the night unexpectedly. And Jesus said, blessed is the person or the man or woman that when I come, they open immediately. Not that they have to clean up first, but that they open immediately to me. That as I knock on that door, they will open up and I will be their Savior. I will come in and sup with them, and they will receive the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not only with water as we do it here, but the Holy Spirit can baptize you in the fires of the Holy Spirit, and you can do all kinds of things that God would allow you to do if you have him first in your life. And if you want to think that there aren't miracles today, I would have to disagree with you wholeheartedly. I talked to a man just not so long ago, and he says he was doing some work on a Sunday morning, and he says, well, it's so nice out, I'm going to miss church today. And he says, I was driving by the church with my load of, I don't know what he was getting, wood or hay or whatever he was getting. And he says, when I started coming by, I thought, you know, church started 5 minutes ago, I should be there. He stopped and went in. God convicted him in such a way that he quit his work and stopped to praise and pray to the Lord God. Are we doing that? Jesus says, God has sent out this invitation. Are you willing to accept it? Are you willing and able to take and say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my heart and in my life. I want you in all that I do and say. I want you to shine out from me that people will see your good work in me. And it is not me, but it's you, Lord God, that is showing all of this, that we will not be cast into outer darkness as this one man was that didn't have a garment on. He was a man that would not accept Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. He's the man that wanted to take and make people think he had Christ and he didn't. He's the man that had all these things going for him, and he was progressive maybe in many ways, and yet he did not turn to the Lord and say, thank you, be my Savior, be my Lord. And so he's cast into outer darkness because he does not accept Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And you know, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, we will either hear him say, depart from me, or welcome. Welcome into your eternal rest, because you have given to your life and the things in your life to me, and you have let me live in your life and shine out as a light onto the world. Therefore, you will not be cast out into darkness or into hell. The people that end up in hell, they will be in outer darkness, and they will be tormented night and day, and they will never have any rest, and they will never see the people next to them because of the smoke and brimstone, and yet they will have wailing and gnashing of teeth, it tells us. It should be enough to scare us to say, Lord Jesus, I want you, and I'm willing to do anything you want me to do to follow you and to be your servant. Then, as it tells us in Titus, we would be looking up, and we would be looking forward to our citizenship in heaven. We would be looking forward to Christ calling us out of this world as individuals or as a rapture, but that we know we would be with Jesus Christ because his angels would be there to welcome us and to take us home into heaven itself. That Satan, as we go from our physical bodies to our spiritual heaven, that the demons could not stop us, but that we would progress right through the demon second heaven, and we would be in heaven with Christ forever. We see God inviting us, and he invites each one of us, if we don't have our hearts right with him, to make it right. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will forgive you of your sins. Come unto me, and I will see that your spirit is right, that you can have not only the forgiveness of sins, but all those things that you've done wrong would be forgotten because they will be remembered no more, God tells us in Isaiah. He says they will be forgotten, you'll be a new creature, and you will be born anew. And those that have died and passed on before us and that have had Christ, they're in heaven and they are waiting for us. And we are running that race today, running that race in which we will one day have to answer for our race, and we will be called on for our reward. We pray and ask God to watch over us. And as we take communion, we pray and we thank God for what he has done for us, that he is giving us communion, that we can remember that he came into the world and gave himself for us, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, O God, to serve you, and help us, O Lord, to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 520.